An update, we understand that the legislature is discussing an override attempt.
Well, we're back on KMAN's In Focus, and if you weren't listening before the break, we're sitting here with USD 378 Superintendent Cliff Williams and 384 Blue Valley Randolph Superintendent Brady Burton, and of course, we were discussing legislative matters, looking to maybe veto the governor vetoed a bill which would override the income tax law, raise a lot of money that could be used for local schools, lots of other things, and as Dave just mentioned, they're discussing overriding the governor's veto, and that would raise nearly $1 billion, correct?
In tax revenue. Over the next 2 years, yeah.
Well, and that's greatly needed at this point. And maybe moving on from legislative matters, I know both of your districts, you know, you're in circumstances where you're looking to improve your facilities, and that sort of money would really come in handy as you look towards possible bond issues, things of that nature. I know, Brady, your district recently selected a partner for some of these studies, right?
We did. We selected an architect, Mike Carson, here in town, and we're moving forward. Matter of fact, he and I and met yesterday with an area company and inspecting our buildings for, we're looking at part of the bond would be replacing basically all our windows and doors of our current buildings. And they were all built basically in 1960 when the town of Randolph was located at the north end of Tuttle Creek, and Tuttle Creek flooded that area, so they had to move the town of Randolph, and at that time they built the new school buildings and so on. So we're looking at 60 years of current doors and windows, and some of them have been replaced over the years, but so we're moving forward with that, and we're supposed to have kind of a hard number by our May meeting at the latest of what we're looking at for what we want to do, for actually the amount our bond will be, and then we have to get that certified with the state and so on, and then we'll move forward with the bond election in November, and in between that we'll have public meetings and informational meetings and so on to with the public and make them aware of it and allow them time to ask questions and so on. So it's an exciting time. The last bond issue we had was 20 years ago, 1998. That bond is retiring within the next year. So we're hoping to piggyback off of that, Andrew, and be able to hold taxes at a zero increase from what they are now. Those taxes wouldn't be retired if we piggyback and just create a new bond. But we're hoping that we can work it so we don't increase property taxes for our patrons with what we're doing. There could be a couple mil increase, but we're hoping to do it so there isn't.
Well, and you talk about making it favorable for your taxpayers. How do you go about advocating for a bond issue like this? Are you looking to form any community organizations to get out there and advocate for this? Is that a part of the process?
Well, actually, to start with, we had a group of patrons come to the board and advocating for some like new ag facilities, additional ag facilities, some things like that. The board originally thought about maybe looking at adding on to that facility. Then they started talking about other needs, and that led to the formation of a community committee, bond committee, to look at this. And they did, and they moved forward with their thoughts to the board on what needed to be done. The board approved that, and that has led to what we're doing now. As you promote a bond, the school district itself cannot be involved in promoting a bond issue. Individual board members can, but them sitting on the board or the board themselves cannot advocate for passing the bond or putting any money into trying to promote it. So all that has to be done outside the board by interested patrons and so on, and which we will have a committee or a group of people that eventually will do that come this fall.
When you talk about doors and windows, I mean, that's the sort of thing that could cut your energy costs, for example.
Well, exactly. And not only that, but a lot of the things we're doing are housekeeping type things. Looking at a new roof for the high school, which is going to be close to $500,000, new buses, additional technology for the district, just things like that.
Well, and I know, Cliff, bonds within USD 378, you have an interesting history of bonds and failed bonds, and I don't know if that's something you're still pursuing, still investigating. It seems like it's something that has taken quite a bit of consideration as far as finding a way to move forward in the community of Riley and the district.
Most definitely. Last few years, we've had two unsuccessful bonds, and I guess you could look at that two different ways. We're trying to look at it as this is where our people are and what they want for our school district. And so we've kind of taken a different turn. We've got a survey that's live right now for our parents and our patrons, and we're also going to ask our seniors at the end. So this came live on February 14th, and we will close that down on March 3rd, and we hope to take some of that data and understand what our community feels that we're good at, what do we need to improve on. We're also looking at our mission statement in that survey, saying, do you feel like our students are graduating with this skill set? What are some different skills you'd like to see them improve upon that we can add in our curriculum? And so we're trying to seek data out there right now and understand. Our board's working hard at trying to listen where our community wants to be. And we, too, do have some facility needs. We had some overcrowding issues, particularly in our grades 3 through 8, and that's kind of what drove some of those bond issues. And so we've made some adaptations to that. And again, we don't have a bond. That's not the end with what we've got right now, but we're just trying to look at school improvement as a whole. And so it'll be exciting to see that information, and we're going to release that once that survey closes, and we're going to have a better understanding of what our people want to see in Riley County schools.
Well, and maybe you don't want to put words in the mouths of your people in Riley, but what do you think are some of the greatest needs for your facilities right now? Or as far as, do you have any clue as to what people may want to see?
Well, I think people always want to know that their schools are sound, and that, you know, the roofs aren't going to leak, that the environment within, you know, your HVAC units, that the kids are in there, they're warm, they're cool, depending on the season. They want to know that they're safe, and, you know, with security of doors and those types of things. They want to know that we're being as efficient as we can and that we're maintaining those facilities. And, you know, our oldest facility was built back in the 1929, and so things just wear out. So they want to know that we're taking care of them. There's a lot of pride in those buildings, and it's easy to hear that when you visit with the various community members. And so they want to know that we're doing what we can to protect that investment. And, you know, if that means that we need to expand because we're growing, you know, what avenues are out there, what's the most efficient, and what's going to help kids. We're always going to deal with maintenance issues. Every school district does. I mean, it's just like your own home. Things just wear out, and we need to address those, and we're hoping that we can be more systematic about it.
Well, it's 9:33 here at News Radio KMAN. We're going to get ready to wrap things up, but Brady and Cliff, it's been a pleasure as always, and maybe just closing thoughts. I know it's a busy time of year, conferences, sub-state basketball, state wrestling. What are some of the things people in Randolph need to be paying attention to right now?
Well, Andrew, and I think Cliff brought this up earlier, but it's hard to believe that, you know, actually next week, I think midweek, we're into March already. And like he said, our end of our third 9 weeks ends March 9th. And then a couple weeks or week and a half later, starting March 20th, same week that they do in K-State, we start spring break and getting started with, we just have track in the spring. And we're looking at starting state assessments here next month too, into the first part of April with our grades 3 through high school. And I know the board and I are looking into next year now. We've set our district calendar for next year. We've put out for our teachers to start ordering things for next year or turning in requisitions. We're looking at summer maintenance things. So, you know, we're kind of full speed ahead looking at 2017 and 18 right now.
Well, and Cliff, what about Riley?
I'd echo the same thoughts that Brady said. You know, it's the year's flying by. We're wrapping up winter sports. We're getting ready for spring activities. We have those conferences. We hope to have 100% participation in that. We're getting ready for 17 and 18. And so it's a busy place. We always encourage parents to go to our website. And it really makes a big difference for our kids when they see that people come out and support them. And they've always done that in the past. And so we'd encourage them to use our calendar and see all the different things we have going on in Raleigh County Schools.
Well, a great message to end on. It's 9:35 here at KMAN's In Focus. We'll be right back after this. We'll be speaking with some folks from Manhattan Public Library.
KMAN weather is powered by Colbert Hills Golf Course and Restaurant.